Accession number 20940, Reel 3.
Scotty Scott, Reel 3.
Right, we carry on with Colonel Bold with my little letter as a prize. Now, shortly after the Christmas break, the old division went on a big exercise. And it entailed crossing the Euphrates and I think the Tigris as well, the two rivers. Well, the two things I remember about that exercise, it lasted 3 days. We had a bloke killed, shot straight through the ruddy head, Phillips, I think his name was. And also, during the exercise, the engineers built a pontoon bridge across the river that was in flood. And a British Army, what they call it, a tractor with a 25 pounder and a limber, went across the pontoon bridge. And whether the bridge was right or wrong, I don't know, but the bridge tilted as this thing went across. And the whole bloody lot went in the river. With the blokes inside the tractor, and they used to call them something, them tractors, the limber and the gun, all went straight in the drink. You know, and we was just marching by. We didn't see who got out and who didn't get out. But anyway, cutting a long story short, the last day of the exercise, we was up in the foothills that was at the back of the camp, and then mountains, you go across them mountains, it's up in Kurd country, and you go across them mountains, you get to Iran, right? Anyway, we've been slogging for 3 days. Now just think of this. I was a young man, not yet 18. And for them 3 days, I've been slogging it with a Bren gun, my own magazines in my webbing, all my kit, plus utility pouches that held another 6 magazines. So I was carrying 10 Bren magazines to start with. There's 28 rounds in a magazine, so that's 280 rounds of ammo I've got there, right? And that weighs. Well, by the end of 3 days, I was knackered. I was on my bleeding chin strap. So were the others. But the point is this. I fell back and fell back, and in the end, they detailed Bernard, Granny Barnard, to stay behind me. I was still slogging, but I just slowed right down. But we're still slogging. I had no intention of stopping. I just had to keep going, you know. But I was in a physical state, I suppose. I just wasn't up there. Anyway, I was keep going. And Barnard, to keep me going, he kept kicking me out the arse. Get on, you bastard, and all that. This was the stuff I got from this as a sergeant, so he called himself. Anyway, I realised after a while, he wasn't worried about me. He was doing it in his trousers, mate. Because of the people that lived in them hills. Because we've been told out there, if you fall into their hands, mate, they'll slit your throat and stick your ghoulies in your gob. Right? They don't just bloody murder you. They mutilate you. And I think that's what he was thinking about. And I realised this. Anyway, we got back to camp well after the others. But we got back. And from that day on, I said to myself, if I see Barnard again, the first thing I'll do is smash him in the mouth. I promised myself that. Anyway, shortly after, and I've got this in a letter from my mother, I discovered my real age. And it was Scotty on your bike. Right? But, like I'll explain in a minute, I was lucky in a way, because I was on my bike down to Baghdad, down to Basra, on the Mauritania. From Basra, they sent us on a, what was the name of the ruddy boat? SS Kosciuszko, Polish packet. SS Kosciuszko, I've got a photo of it there. Down to Bombay. Bombay, they stuck me in prison, because I had no documents, in the Colaba transit camp. Then my documents come up from the boat. So the officer there, the same colonel, Duke of Wellington's Red Sox, he said, I don't know what to do with you. So he gave me 31 days leave, pending repatriation to England, of which I spent 16 in Bombay, bored out my brain. There was nothing there. So I shower in the morning, breakfast, shower, go down the beach, come back, have lunch, have a shower, go downtown, get a gharry, go downtown. There was 2 films I saw there, Gone with the Wind and Wake Island. Over that, it was walk around from one British Army canteen to another, you know, and then go back to camp. Anyway, after about 2 weeks, I walked back into camp one night, the leave camp at Calaba. And the sergeant major there, he says, pack your bags, you're on a boat in the morning. And that was that. I was on the Mauritania coming back to Blighty. And from Bombay, I think, to Liverpool, it took about 6 weeks. And the main events on that was we pulled in at Madagascar. We had 4 days shore leave at South Cape Town. We pulled into Sierra Leone. And I think these stops were taken on water and stuff like that. And then we come straight from Sierra Leone up to Liverpool. All unescorted, because the Mauritania was a fast ship. And she had her own guns on board, so she was all right. Which, by the way, I volunteered to be one of the MG gunners, because that was my trade, like, you know, they asked for people that could handle machine guns. And I volunteered for that. Give me something to do, otherwise you're bored out of your brain. And the other incident, coming up from Cape Town to Sierra Leone, we picked up survivors. Now, I'm not sure here. I can't remember right, but it was the Empress of Canada or the Empress of Scotland that had been sunk off the west coast of Africa, early 43. And we picked up survivors from that ship and a load of high tide prisoners and brought them back to Blighty. And again, different thing on board the ship. They wanted people to be able to look after them. You know, they'd all married families, these people, from Timex soldiers in India, going home. And they wanted people to help look after them. So while I was doing nothing else, I went and helped them. The question of getting their food for them every day and that, you know, and keeping the kids happy, you know. So anyway, we done that. We got back to Blighty. I say it was the 13th of April, Liverpool. And it was raining. Reception committee was 2 red caps on the pier, you know. Great. Anyway. They sent us from there straight down to Hythe. And I was back in West Kent County, sort of thing. We spent a weekend at Hythe, getting sorted about. Kit inspections and all that. Well, the other blokes with me, like, was from the 1st Seven Queens. Most of them regular soldiers, Timex, but there was Timex before the war started, you know, their time was up, coming back to Blighty, and a couple of blokes coming back to form the first base in England for the Remy, as it now is, and people like this, you know. Anyway, we got back to Hythe, kit inspections and medical check-ups and all this crap, you know, and then they sent us on leave. Come back from leave, 2 weeks later, posted, Redcar in Yorkshire. And the battalion we went to, all these blokes, with me, right, up to Redcar, holding battalion. And we start training again. I mean, I don't want to go into details of that, but we used to go into Redcar at night, Yorkshire people, smashing. Never bought a drink. Redcar, the high street in Redcar, I'm still see it, if I remember right. Left hand, there's a war memorial, left hand side was a amusement arcade and a fish and chip shop. The other side was a pub called the Bricklayer's Arms. You could go and get some fish and chips, walk in there and have a pint, it wouldn't cost you a bleeding penny. Was, you know, we used to say something, no, we'll build it, you know, no. And you'd have one or the other, saying, shit, no. And we did the Salute the Soldier Week in Middlesbrough.
What's Salute the Soldier Week?
Well, they used to have a week where it was Salute the Navy, Salute the Soldier, and Salute the Airmen, and it was fundraising. Used to hold parades and fates and all that. Like, you must have seen the posters and all that. Anyway.
You were talking about a Dom and Long's factory at Redcar.
Yeah. Well, the beach at the back was mine. And one night, just at one of his Jerry, what do you call him? One of his Lone Raiders sort of thing. Like, he should skip in, drop a couple of bombs and go. You know. Well, one night, one of them come in. Dropped a couple of bombs and must have wondered what the hell happened, because the whole bloody minefield along the beach went up by sympathetic explosion. One mine set the other one off and it just went right down the beach, blah, 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 like that. That airman must have wondered what the hell happened, you know. But anyway, that was that. And I spoke about the Salute the Soldier Week, didn't I, on there?
Yes. And what happened in the.
Yeah, afterwards, we got kidnapped by the local people, like, taken into houses, offered drink, food, everything, you know, he looked after as well. And which I'll talk about again in a minute, because we come back with the Salute the Soldier Week, everybody was happy, And that night, you know, in the army, they put up orders for the day tomorrow, you know. And you're supposed to look at them every night. And we did. And believe it or not, the whole lot of us that had got off the boat barely 3 weeks before were down on a draft going overseas. Yeah. Well, for me, it had been all right. Because, I mean, as far as my army service concerned at that moment, it was nothing like, you know, but these other blokes with me, they've been stuck out there for years and they just got back home. So they started moaning and groaning. God, bloody hell, what's all this? Anyway, the sergeant major's come out of the office. What's going on out here, sort of thing? And one of the blokes told him, he said, look, he says, we've only got off the boat, bloody, you know. And the sergeant major says, do what? Anyway, he said, how about you? Yeah, same with me. Yeah, all of us. Only got off the boat, Liverpool, you know, about 3 weeks ago. And the sergeant major said, well, what the hell are you doing up here? Who sent you up here? This is an holding battalion forming drafts to go overseas. What are you lot doing here? Well, we don't know. We're not into the incident, you know. So he said, right. Day after, they sorted us out. And I got sent down to Mason, the 13th ITC, which is the 13th Infantry Training Centre at Mason. And I was training people for what is General Service Corps, really. Right? And this is where I come into contact with your national servicemen, if you like to call them that. Because I was on corps training. The intakes came in. They did 6 weeks basic. Had to wear a uniform. Had to salute officers. Had to do this and that. The minor things. And they counted us for 10 weeks. Really bashing, you know. Go, go, go. And all that lot. Assault courses and you name it. The hard part of training. I found it quite interesting. But, the British Army go stupid. You can go 10 weeks without having a bloody bath. If you've got a nicely blankoed belt on with the brasses polished, you're all right. You know? And we was doing, as NCOs, we were doing duties that normally you wouldn't do. But seeing as the blokes were in training, they got away with it. But you were doing like the babysitting sort of thing. And the old lot had done me one day. I'm in the corporal's mess. And there's one of the bullshitters comes in. And he goes, look at that. You know, his tapes on his arm. Because we had to blanco them. White blanco and all that. And we look. And if you look at a stripe, it's made up of all little chevrons. Right? And what he'd done, indelible blue pencil between the chevron and white tape the other one. So he had a little blue, little white, little blue, little white, all the way down the chevron and up the other side, right? Instead of just one white streak. It must have taken him hours. Of course, everybody went up in the air, didn't they? Get out of it, bullshitter. If the RSM sees that, there's a lot of us doing it, you know? So that was it. Our RSM, by the way, was the famous Tasker, RSM Tasker, Queen's Royal Regiment. He was a very, very smart man. For an RSM, he was short arse, but he was a very, very smart man and a voice. By Christ, where it come from, I don't know. But he wasn't a bag either. And that decided me, I think, well, I'm not going to soldier here much longer. And my prayer was answered, because shortly after, Charlie Vaughan, Colonel Charlie Vaughan, he come round on a recruiting drive. He wanted volunteers for commandos. And I said, right, that's me. I'll get out of here. But then when I went up to see him, he said, you can't, you're on permanent staff, it's an important job, you're training men and all this lot. So I said, what do I have to do then, sir? You know? He said, well, all you can do is get permission from your colonel. I said, to do that, I have to go and see the RSM, I have to put in a request for an interview and all that, that'll take, you know. So he said, well, that is the procedure. So I thought, nah. Take the ball by the horns. I had all of our training platoon up there in the gym. Listen to this geezer. And we're at the top of the hill, as we called it. And I ran down the hill to the camp headquarters. And the RSM was there just as it was. As soon as I saw him, I skidded to a halt. Yup. You know, sir, what do you want? want to see the CEO, sir. I want to see the colonel. Can't see the colonel. You've got to put in a request. Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. But if I don't do it now, I won't get a chance, you know, and all that lot. Well, that's why I say Tasker was all right. So he said, what's the trouble? He said, what's the problem? So I said, I just wanted to volunteer for commando service. And they tell me that I've got to have colonel's permission and all that. So Tasker says, yes, he said, that is right. He said, you're on permanent staff job and all that. All this. So I said, yeah, but I want... So he understood. So he said, wait there. He's gone in. Bang, bang, walked into the colonel's office. Heard him stamp his feet. Off he's just saluting. Then I heard his voice. Ha! Well, Corporal Scott, he said, wishes to volunteer for commando service. He must have a permission from the colonel and all that. You know. And the colonel said, Colonel Fry it was, I believe. He said, march him in. He come out, didn't he? Right, he's stand out. March in, salute. You know, all that lot. Right. We march. In, salute. So, I said to the colonel, I said, I know this is unorthodox, sir, but if I don't do it now, I'm not going to get a chance, right? So he said, what is it exactly? I said, I wish to volunteer for the Special Service Brigade. I said, the commando service. So he said, aren't you happy here? I said, yes, sir, but I want to get in and, you know, do a real job. So she said, right, request granted, march out. I was back up that hill, mate, like that, and I said to Charlie Vaughan, sir, yes. The colonel says, yes. He said, right. And he had another officer with him taking down the names. Thereby, Walter Selby, a bloke, Walter Selby, Don Harding, Walter Selby, Harding, Michelle, and there's two others who I can't think of. Saved me bloody life, I can't think of. But I took them up. In September 43, that was, we went up to Wrexham to join, like, commando service. And our draft was mostly guardsmen when they formed the squad at Wrexham, mostly guardsmen at the Guards Armour Div. The ever open eye. And I made friends with them because Ellis Norris, I still write to, Ted Pritchard, Dickinson, McMillan, all them, all that different guards regiments. And all that the Guards Armour Div. And I was talking to them, like, I said, what are you volunteer for? Why? Because of the bullshit. They said, some of our tanks, you can't traverse the bloody turrets because there's so much paint on them. And all that. You know, whether it was true or not, I don't know. Slower. Anyway, we formed what was in Laycock Troop. And I like to be of the opinion, I suppose everybody says this. I think it was the best bloody troop that went through Achnacarry because it was winter. And boy, what a shock. We got up there. If you had any rank, it come off. You started as a trooper. And at that time, they wanted you to have 3 years' service in the army. They wanted you to have been abroad if possible. You had to know how to swim, how to drive vehicles and all this, like, you know. And you had to volunteer, then you had to be selected. It wasn't because you volunteered, you was in, you were selected. They chose you if they thought you was potential. Anyway, you had a bloody old medical. Everything was checked. And then you got to Wrexham. You'd done a bit of checking at Wrexham. Then you went to Achnacarry. And when you got to Achnacarry, which was Spainbridge Station, and things like that, I've got a film about it. And anyway, we got there, strip off, no rank, and you started your training. Well, two things stand out in my memory. And it's a funny part about this. I talked to other geezers about it, and they can't remember it. The first morning, I'm up. 6 o'clock. Now, this is winter in Scotland. In Scotland, especially Achnacarry, it rains every 5 minutes for half an hour. I've got up in the morning, towel, razor and all that, I'm going to wash and shave it. So I said to one of the blokes, I said, where's the evolutions? Over there. So I'll go over there. And I'm looking for a building, naturally. I can't see a building. All I can see is trees. So I see another geezer coming back this way. I said, where's the evolutions, mate? Well, straight forward, he says, you know, can't miss it. And they're all getting straight forward, I hear, gurgle, 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 a river. Then I find some blokes kneeling on a riverbank, washing and shaving. I said, what's this? They said, well, this is the evolutions, the river. I said, I can't shave in the dark, can't use a mirror. One of the blokes says, don't you know where your face is then? You know, so, oh well. And you was literally shaving by feel like. You'd be surprised how well you can do it. Anyway, the next shock, we goes to breakfast. Outside the dining hall, which was one of the only buildings there, was a bloody dustbin. and it looked like it was full of pig swill. Nobody took any notice of it. But I tell you what, from morning to night, you would go. When I mean training, well, I thought I was all right because of core training at Maidstone, I thought I was pretty fit. But then I found out after 3 days I was knackered, mate. I was, you know, there's degrees of fitness. But this dustbin, after a couple of days, if you didn't get there quick, mate, and dip your mess tin, it was porridge. Burgoo, they called it. If you didn't get there early enough and quick enough, you didn't get any. Because everybody's just going with a mess tin, getting a mess tin full of it. You had to get something in your guts. You've got to stoke the fire if you want it to burn. And you're literally going it all day. You know, the things at that place, and if you talk to, well, if there's 10,000 people went through it, 9,999, I'll tell you, you never got dry. You was wet from start to finish. You never had enough to eat. And you couldn't find a fag. There was no beer or anything. That was it. It was just a Spartan. And from morning to night, I've just sent a copy of the training programme to Australia. And the last course, only done 6 weeks. We'd done 12 weeks. And you name it, you was doing it. All your small arms training again, all your drill training, your rock climbing, abseiling, your river crossing, you name it, you was doing it, and doing it more, and timed. Not just doing it in your own time, mate. They give you a time to do a certain thing, and that was it. That was the training. And we had a bloke called James from the Scots Guards, a drill instructor, and Robertson. He was a small arms instructor, but he did take drill sometimes as well. And we were down one day, our programme. It had drill parade. Dress was our denims, which were never dry. Belt, bayonet, rifle. Cap comforter on your head. That was the training rig. And the weather was appalling. It was rain and hail, you name it. It was appalling. We thought, we can't have no drill. They won't have no drill parade in this. You're joking, you know. You can't do a drill parade out there. I mean, the square, what was the square, was a mud heap. You know? And we said, no, we must be doing something else, like, you know. I can't do that. Wrong. Stated time, outside, belt, bayonet, rifle and all that, out there. Fall in, march on, left, right, left, right. And we done a drill session on that square. I'm not joking, but your fingers around your rifle butt, they were frozen. And they took us through the lot. Foot drill, arms drill, everything. And they expected us to do it on a perb right bloody square in a sunny day, you know? It was horrendous. And you get the slope there, and they present arms from the slope. And your hands were frozen, everything. You were soaked. And talk about sadism. Well, anyway, we done it. And that was amazing, that place. And another incident happened there. We were doing one of the assault landings. Have you seen the film of the assault landings?
Yes.
I was painter man in a bows of the Goatley boat, you know, with the iron spike and a line on it to stick in to stop the boat going back out. Anyway, I'm looking at the water and I'm looking at the beach. I'm looking at what I think when it's getting shallow enough, you know, over the side and pull the boat in like so, grounds up and that. I look over the side and I can see all this grass and green stuff there, you know, something in the water. And I think all the boys are paddling away there and they've started the banshees going, all the brain guns are firing, the mortars are going, it, the smoke, you know, and they're creating mayhem sort of thing. But I'm concentrating on what I'm doing. I'm looking, then I thought, now, over the side I goes. Well, I've got all my battle order on, rifle, all that lot, right? I just went straight down. It was about 20 foot deep. I'm going down, I've got this iron spike in my hand, I'm looking up and I see the bleeding boat go in my head. I thought, oh my God, get out, because it's freezing. And I must have come out of there like a champagne cork out of a bottle. I'm not looking. Done my job, and just like went with the others. It was only years later, I met a bloke called Ledbetter, and we was talking about this, and he said, I remember that. He said, I was there when that happened. He said, you was a bleeding idiot, were you? I said, yeah, I was. Anyway, We've done this thing, you charge up the top of the hill, and there's some replica guns up there, you know, and you capture the guns and you sort of set up a protection squad, the demolition people go in and blow the guns up, put charges on, blow them up and all that. Them guns must have been blown up 99 times. Anyway, evacuation, second stage of the exercise, back to the boats. We all got back to the boats, and then away you went. Index, back to the camp. Debrief and things like this, then carry on training. You didn't stop because you'd done that, you just went on training. Then the next day, the big event of the day would be a speed march, but it was the 7 mile, the 10 mile, the 20 mile, or whatever it was, the speed march. You go out and do that, you'd come back from that, you just wouldn't finish though. You'd go up the hill and do some shooting, or you'd be doing drill on a square or something, you know, it never stopped. Don't matter what, you're just normal, that was it. I had a bloke fall down a ruddy cliff, Chapman. He was up the trot of me and he come off. Went straight down my back, wallop, and he took me down with him. But he landed, he was lucky, he landed on some, shell, like a scree. He landed on that and that sort of took him down with it. But it stopped his fall, and he got away with it. But he got RTU'd at the end of the course because he's a coordination and he had no weight for heights and all this, Poor sod, he done the course and they RTU'd him, sent him back. But that was it. After that, I went down and got posted number 3 commander, Peter Young's mob. Happy man, because I had my mates with me, Don Harding. And as I thought, Don, being parachute trained, he'd go into the parachute troop as 3 commander. So he's gone in to see Bungie, that's Peter Young's nickname, Bungie. He went in first, and he come out, and I went in. Now, short talk with Bungie, happy to have you down here, welcome to the mob and all that, and what would you like to do? So I said, what's the options? So he said, well, 1 troop is the assault troop, 2 troops heavy weapons, 3 troops parachute troop, 4 troops, all this. So I said, I'll do 3 troops, sir. He said, are you willing to do parachute training? I said, yes, sir. Thinking that my oppo, he'd have gone for 3 troop, see? I thought he must have chosen 3 troop. So, right, march out. Thank you, sir. March out. Get outside. I said to Don, I said, what do you choose? He said, I'm going to 4 troop. Oh, you bloody idiot. I said, I'm going to 3. See? He said, I said, why didn't you go to 3? He said, well, I've done all that before. I said, anyway. I went to 3, which of course was the best troop in 3 Commando, and I suppose 4 troop was as well. But anyway, eventually, Don transferred over to 2 troop, heavy weapons, which if I'd have known he was going to do that, I'd have done that, But anyway, I was in 3 troop, and like I said, Dickinson, Ted Pritchard, Ellis Norris, Di Jenkins, McMillan, and we had people like Ted Hutt and Flash Freeman and all them in it, and Ponsford, my officer, Captain Wesley, the other officer, what's his bloody name? He copped it on the beach. Anyway, it's a good lad. And within days of arriving, we had our own Welsh male voice choir. We used to entertain all the locals at the Am Hotel because that was our local pub. Each troop was situated in civvy billets around the pub. Very handy, because commandos weren't in barracks. You're all in civilian billets. You got 6 and 8 a day allowance. But it was not danger money. As people, you got double pay in the commandos, did you? Rubbish. The 6 and 8 a day was lodgings and food. And you got a ration card every week. But here's another little story. I was a bloke called Fred Rebetz. And he was in the East Surrey. He's on that casualty list. And both of us got told to go to Mrs. Ford, 169 Lyndhurst Road, Worthing, opposite the Am Hotel. Well, we've arrived, nobody in. We're standing with all our kit, and Mrs. Ford arrived. Oh, hello, lad, she says. Wait a minute, come in. She said, I'll do some eggs and bacon, and we'll have a meal later, Anyway, she showed us a big front bedroom. And the only thing wrong is a double bed in it. And I thought, the only bloke I sleep with is my brother. Like we used to at Tottenham.